he didn't come to me for forgiveness. That's what he told himself. Anyway, he came because guilt rots faster in silence. And I was good at making people feel heard without actually hearing them. I knew how to nod at the right time, how to let my eyes soften just enough to look like mercy. Men like him confuse attention with absolution. They think confession is the same thing as being clean. I never corrected that misunderstanding. By the time he started crying, I already knew what I needed from him. Distance. Plausible distance. Something that put space between me and the night everything went sideways. He wanted someone to tell him he wasn't a monster. I needed someone willing to stand in front of the mess and bleed a little, so I wouldn't have to. So, I let him talk. I let him break. I let him choke on the word sorry, like it might save him. I told myself I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wasn't lying. I was just guiding the truth. Framing it gently. Helping him carry something heavy, because he looked like he was about to collapse under it anyway. That's the part that still scares me. Not that I used his guilt. That it felt like relief. I met him at a moment when he was already cracked. That matters. I didn't make the first fracture. I just learned how to press on it. He was the kind of man who talked about accountability like it was a moral accessory. Something he wore when it made him look evolved. He'd say things like, I know I fucked up, then wait for applause, wait for reassurance, wait for someone, usually a woman, to tell him that recognizing harm was the same thing as repairing it. I was careful at first. I always am. I let him confess in pieces, never pushing, never rushing. People reveal themselves faster when they think they're in control of the pace. I mirrored his language, his self-loathing, his fear of being seen as the villain in his own story. I didn't challenge him. I validated the feeling without endorsing the behavior. That's a delicate line, and I walk it well. He told me about the night he crossed a line. Not the worst details, just enough to test whether I'd recoil. I didn't. I leaned in. I told him guilt meant he wasn't heartless. I said remorse was proof of conscience. That was the hook. From there, it was easy to reframe his shame as something noble. Heavy, burdensome, something a good man shouldn't have to carry alone. I positioned myself as the witness, the safe container, the one who could hold the truth without flinching. What I didn't tell him was that I was already calculating, already tracing how his confession overlapped with my exposure. There were questions circling me, quiet ones, but persistent. I needed a narrative that didn't point back to me. I needed someone whose moral collapse was already documented, already believable. So I began to suggest things gently, how alone he must feel, how dangerous it is to keep secrets bottled up, how honesty, real honesty, sometimes requires sacrifice. I didn't tell him what to do. I never do. I just made it clear that silence was killing him, and that speaking up might redeem him. By the time he asked what I thought he should do, his guilt was no longer his. It was something we shared. Something I was helping him carry. Something I could redirect.
The shift happened when he started trusting my reactions more than his own instincts. That's when manipulation stops being effort and starts being gravity.
He'd tell me something and watch my face, waiting for the verdict. I learned which expressions made him spiral and which ones steadied him. A slight pause before responding could make him unravel. A soft, I hear you, could make him cling. I began asking questions that sounded like concern, but functioned like scaffolding. Who else knew? What exactly had been said? What would it look like if the truth came out now versus later? I framed exposure as inevitability, delay as cruelty, to himself, to others. I let him believe he was choosing transparency. The night I suggested he come forward, he was shaking. I remember thinking how easy it would be to stop, how little effort it would take to say, maybe wait, maybe think, but I didn't. I leaned into his panic and called it courage. I told him, accountability hurts. I told him doing the right thing rarely feels good. I told him pain was part of growth. All of that was true. What I didn't say was that his confession would redirect scrutiny, that it would give investigators a cleaner narrative, that it would turn him into the center of gravity, while I slipped into the background as collateral damage at worst.
When he finally spoke, the story landed exactly where I needed it to. His guilt filled the room. His remorse soaked up the oxygen. No one asked why I hadn't noticed more. No one pressed me about my proximity. I played devastated, betrayed. I let my voice crack when I said I wished he'd trusted me sooner. That performance earned me sympathy I didn't deserve. For a while, it worked. He took the fall with a kind of grim pride. Like suffering proved something. Like being punished meant he was finally good. I watched him deteriorate and told myself it wasn't my fault. I hadn't forced him. I hadn't lied. I just allowed his guilt to do what guilt does when it's fed. But guilt ferments. It leaks. And eventually it curdles into something else. Exposure never comes the way you plan for it. It crept in sideways. A detail I hadn't anticipated. A timeline discrepancy. Someone asking a question I'd answered too smoothly the first time. Guilt has a way of circling back to its source. When they came to me again, their tone was different. Less sympathetic. Sharper. I could feel the narrative wobble. His confession had opened doors, but it hadn't closed all of them. They asked how much I knew. When I knew it. Why I stayed quiet. I tried to replicate the same softness, the same wounded composure, but something had shifted. Maybe I'd overplayed it. Maybe they were tired of stories where everyone was sorry and no one was accountable. When they confronted me with his messages, his words echoing my guidance back at me, I felt something cold snap inside my chest. The scaffolding I'd built with care, suddenly visible for what it was. He hadn't protected me out of loyalty. He'd protected the story we built together, and when it collapsed, it crushed us both. I told myself I could talk my way out. I always do. But guilt isn't loyal. It doesn't stay where you put it. It migrates. It looks for balance. By the end, the truth wasn't clean. It never is. But it was clear enough. I wasn't the victim. I'd performed. I was the architect of distance. The one who turned someone else's remorse into cover. The one who understood exactly how to let another person destroy themselves while calling it growth. They didn't need to punish me the way they punished him. All they had to do was see me. And once they did, there was no language left that could soften it.